Good morning, sunshine, and welcome back to another episode of Shine Buzz Daily, where it's all about raising your vibrations and taking inspired action to create the life that you want after a toxic relationship. Today, we are going to talk about our intuition, okay? As we discussed yesterday in our chat, we wanted to figure out exactly how we could tell that intuition was happening and how it affects us in our body and all this other kind of good stuff. So we're just going to jump right in. And as usual, for those of you who are new around here, what I will be doing is for about the first 10 to 15 minutes, maybe 16 or 17 minutes, I'll be sharing a little bit of content with you. And then I'll read the cards, which I'll get to in a moment. You'll see what I'm talking about. And then we'll jump into the chat for our daily discussion. And we'll just hang out and talk to each other for a little while. All right. So let's just do it. All right. So I've told you before about my first wedding, and I'm not going to go into a whole bunch of detail about that, but I will tell you that I recall standing at the altar, barely able to hear the minister or anyone else talking because my head was screaming, "No, run!" Right? Okay. As you're probably aware, that marriage didn't last very long. And when my son was 16 months old, I became a single mother. So that meant I had to put him into daycare so I could go to work. Well, from the ages of 2 to 5, I had found this amazing preschool that had aftercare. It was wonderful. I felt so secure and safe with my son there. He learned a lot of things. It was really good. But then when he was ready to start kindergarten, I had to find a new program because they didn't take kids above the age of 5 who were already in kindergarten at this preschool. I was having a hard time with it, but I knew it was time to change, so I started looking. And I checked out several places in the area, I did a lot of interviews, and I finally found one that was not only within my price range, but located pretty close to home. And the price was right, but it made me feel nervous because there was this busy street, like an exit. It was kind of off on a little side street, but right next to an exit to the highway from a really busy street. And I pushed past that partially because, well, to be honest, it was within my price range and close to home. And partially because I was not able to really find very many negative reviews on the place, right? So I thought, you know, but let's just be fair. This was at a time when we didn't have internet in our homes, at least not everyone did. I didn't. It was, I want to say 1999. No, that's not right. 2001. All right, anyway, it wasn't common. Not everyone had internet. We didn't have smartphones. So it wasn't so easy to find reviews back then. Well, anyway, something else about the place wasn't feeling quite right to me, and I couldn't quite put my finger on what it was. And I thought, well, you know, there was a male daycare worker, and that kind of stuck in my head. Is that normal? And I thought, well, I'm being a jerk. I can't just, you know, assume that this man can't do this job. I mean, he's probably just as capable as anyone else. And so I pushed that aside because, you know, I'm not trying to be a sexist. And then I wondered, well, was it the way the director looked at me when I signed up? Was it the way that they looked at him? What was it? Something was just off for me. I couldn't figure it out, but I kind of brushed my worries aside because I was taught that most of the time I was full of crap when I had those little inklings of things. I was taught not to believe myself. So I went ahead and I put him in the daycare and I thought, all right, well, let's just see what happens. Well, the third day that he attended, I was leaving work and I felt this urge to hurry up and get there. And I didn't know why, because normally that wasn't the case. And I had like a whole hour after I got off work so that I didn't need to rush to get there before I had to pick him up. But that day, I really felt the urge to hurry up and get there. And so I rushed on, you know, jumped in my car, drove as quickly as I could safely drive to get there. And then as I pulled in the parking lot, I see my son standing in the parking lot alone, mind you, next to this really busy street where the highway was right there. It was a whole thing. And he was just all by himself, no daycare workers anywhere, just this little 5-year-old who was small for his age, standing in the parking lot alone. Obviously, I was horrified. I grabbed him by the hand. I took him in the daycare. I said, "What is going on?" You know, da 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 da. Of course, they blamed him for being, you know, he didn't stay with the group. But isn't it the responsibility of the daycare worker, I said, to make sure that all the children are there? Well, sorry, I was really overwhelmed and da da da, whatever the daycare worker said. Obviously, I reported the daycare and had him pulled him out that day. The next day, I found a new daycare that was more expensive and more responsible. After that, I felt sick about it for a long time because I thought if I had not, you know, if I had followed my gut in the first place, my kid's intuition or his safety, his physical safety, potentially his life wouldn't have been risked. And I was so angry at myself for doing that. So I guess my question for you is, has there been a time that you have not followed your intuition and regretted it, or a time that you did follow your intuition and you were glad that you did? If so, let me know in the comments right now or in the chat right now. Let's move on. What is intuition exactly? Well, it's that gut feeling you get. It's that hunch that comes along sometimes. It's the ability to sort of understand something without the ability to sort of understand something immediately, but without the need for conscious reasoning. Sorry, I just saw something weird on my ceiling. Anyway, oh my gosh. How do we learn to trust our intuition is a question. We know that we are all born with a certain amount of intuition just by nature, right? The problem is that from a really young age, a lot of us are told to ignore our feelings or that our feelings are just wrong. And I think this is true for nearly everyone on some level, but especially for people who were raised in toxic households, and or people who have spent time in other toxic relationships. So if you think about it, you know, if you force feed a person and you, let's say you have a baby and you force feed the baby because the baby won't eat on its own. Well, what happens then is that it often causes that kid to lose their ability to recognize their hunger signals. It's like they're taught to ignore their natural hunger control mechanism. And this is the same thing that happens with our intuition and our emotions. We stop listening because we've been taught to push down our feelings. And so we are less likely to trust our emotions. We get this feeling in our gut that something is just not right. And we all know that, you know, most of us have this natural ability to know if something just isn't right, if something doesn't feel right. And I tell you all the time, like, follow your gut. Know if if something doesn't feel right, don't do that thing, or don't follow, you know, protect yourself. But again, over time, you've pushed these feelings down, you feel wrong, you feel crazy, and so you stop listening. So here are some examples of when you might catch a little hint of intuition. So maybe you meet someone new, a new person you're going to date, or a new friend, or even a new boss, and for no apparent reason, you just feel like something's not quite right, something's just off, you don't know what it is. Or maybe you talk to someone and you know for sure they're lying, even though there's no reason to think that. Or maybe you see someone in the parking lot and you just know you want to walk far around that person. You don't want to really pass by that person. You don't know why. The thing is, you obviously don't want to react instantly to something that doesn't appear to be a cause for immediate danger. It is important for you to keep your eyes open and keep your mind open and to trust yourself, because chances are that you're going to find out you're right more than you're wrong when it comes to following your intuition. If you're not used to listening to this, it's going to take time to learn to sort of tune into it. And it requires a little practice and a little patience, but you can do it. You can rediscover this part of yourself. If you can, I don't know, I remember I used to, when I was a small child, I would know stuff, right? Like, I would know that if I asked my mother this question, she was going to give me that answer. Or I would know, you know, that this friend was safe and that friend wasn't. I don't know how I knew, I just knew. And after so many years of conditioning and being told that, you know, those things weren't real and whatever, whatever, I stopped sort of listening for a long time. And I think a lot of us have done that. But when you're going back to learn how to use it again, at first you're probably going to find yourself feeling not sure of exactly how to access it or how to hear it or feel it. And you're going to find out that using your intuition is a whole lot like using your physical muscles. So you need to be using it often and regularly in order for it to be sort of in the shape that you want it to be in, right? So how do you get to know your intuition better? How do you get to tune into it? What exactly do you do? Well, you want to start to watch out for things like hunches or just those feelings that you get sometimes, ideas that pop up in your head. Pay attention to sort of the voice that comes along with it. And what I mean by that is, if you find the voice to be gentle, supportive, positive, That's a good thing. That means that is your intuition coming through. Now, if the voice seems aggressive and pushy and mean and domineering, or it's using scare tactics to make you stay in line or something like that, well, then it most likely will be leftover remnants of your toxic person, your toxic relationship floating around in your head. And if that's the case, you need to get rid of that stuff. But if you're getting a feeling of warning, ask yourself, is this loud and threatening? Is it scary like the narcissist might have been? Or is it more like an insistent knowing? You know, like, I'm not sure if that's the right thing to do. You know, something doesn't feel right. That's intuition. Do you understand what I mean? The difference? So you might get like a tummy ache, or you might, you know, feel kind of a tightness in your chest. It could feel like a little headache to you. We're going to get to some more signs. So here are a few signs that you can watch for in addition to those. One of the things that a lot of us see is the hairs on the back of our neck stand up. And, you know, this is... Whoa! Oh, my God! Oh, something weird is going on in here, you guys. I'm not really okay with it. Anyway, I'm about freaking out. Freaking out! Okay. Every human is born with a fight or flight. This is ironic. A fight or flight thing, right? Sometimes the hairs on the back of the neck will stand up, or you get sort of prickly, your skin, like mine is right now, and you feel like running, like I do right now. most of the time, though, you should pay attention to this feeling, because a lot of times you're going to find that, like, if you have a spider crawling on your skin and you don't see it, the hairs on the back of your neck will stand up. Or you'll find you're actually in danger when something like that happens, and not just having a weird sailing moment. Just don't ignore those feelings is my point. I'm sorry for all the distractions today. The next thing is that you'll feel... I think I might have to be closing off pretty early today. I'm not sure what's going on in this house. The next thing is you're going to feel like sort of a pull to help someone. So television commercials will use those emotions against you when they're trying to get you to send money to save, you know, people in other countries, or they want to, you know, the abused animals commercials. They really tug on those emotions. So when you feel those feelings watching those commercials, you should respect them. You should be aware of them. And when you feel like you're compelled to help other people, you know, you shouldn't push that feeling away. So if you're able to freely offer your help, because denying that feeling will cause you to sort of feel bad about yourself in the process. Do you understand what I mean? And if you can't afford to go, and I'm not saying you should necessarily even, you know, send money to the commercials, but maybe instead of doing that, if you feel like you're concerned about animals, maybe you go volunteer at an animal shelter or something like that, or you adopt a new pet, whatever. What if you feel pulled to do something different? This is another thing. You kind of feel a pull towards something different. So maybe, like I was several years ago, maybe you find yourself sitting in a cubicle, you're bored to tears, you're like, this job is killing my soul. Been there, right? But you're scared. You don't want to change. You don't want to continue to stay in the same place. So if you feel like you're being pulled in another direction, take that time and figure out what that is. You know, give some real consideration to the possibility of changing everything instead of just, nope, I can't do it. I can't afford to leave my job, whatever, whatever. Really think about it and see what it is that your soul is pulling you toward. Somehow I ended up here with you, and that was a lot about a lot about my soul pulling me here, you know? Bill Gates, for example, he didn't allow nagging to stop him from becoming his successful self. And I could probably give you 150 other people, but we don't have all day. So the next thing is you're going to feel more confident in your abilities when you are feeling more confident in your abilities. Don't push that down, because that is your intuition also telling you, hey, something's right here. So if you need to remember that you have a right to feel good about what you're doing. And you have a right to feel capable, because you are. And when you feel good about yourself, it's not about misplaced pride or bragging or anything like that. It's about genuine confidence. And that's something that takes time for us to develop after we go through these relationships. Very often, we are taught, like I said, not to boast about our abilities or anything good about us. For example, I was just thinking about a time when I went somewhere with my mother and my daughter. My daughter was just a baby. And I put little sunglasses on her. And she looked really, really cute. And so I was saying to my mother, to my daughter, oh, you look so adorable, blah, blah, blah. You're so beautiful, like moms do. And my mother said to me, don't tell her she's beautiful. That'll just give her a big head and she'll just become this big, you know, essential. She didn't say the word narcissist, but that's what she meant. And that was not true. I think all mothers should tell their children they're beautiful. And I had continued to do that because I recognized a couple things in that moment. Number one, that would explain a lot about my childhood. And number two, that, you know, you don't become an egomaniac because you believe in yourself. Anyway, but this does put us to a disadvantage when we go out into the world, because if we doubt ourselves, we don't believe in our abilities, well, neither does anyone else. So getting good jobs and getting fair pay is not always as easy for us when we are trying to be employed by the corporate world or whatever. So you have to allow yourself to feel confident when it's appropriate. And when your intuition is telling you, hey, you're doing a good job here, own that, right? All right. The scary thing about trusting your intuition, though, is that when it's something that's new to you, it is not based on logic. It is often what it suggests to you isn't logically verifiable or justifiable, right? So that's weird. But if you practice and you trust, you're going to learn that knowing that something is right and that it's the right thing to do for your best interest. You have to start to trust that about yourself. So it's going to be easier to shrug off your own, like, inner demons, right? Which, let's call it your leftover remnants of narcissist. And those of others who are obviously going to fear for your best interest on your behalf. Sometimes those will be flying monkeys too, or they'll be toxic people who don't want you to succeed. Keep that in mind. So here are a few things you can do to make this a little easier. Start by making your environment comfortable. So recognize that your emotions need a safe environment to be fully experienced, right? You have to become like your own best friend, and you have to recognize that only you are the one who is capable of creating a safe environment. I'm only laughing because I'm having this weird ceiling issue right now. For you to feel safely, for you to safely feel those emotions that you need to feel, because those emotions are the connection to your intuition if you allow them to be. Make your home a safe place for yourself and your family. And as Dr. Phil is prone to saying, home should be a safe place for you to fall, right? Next, you want to acknowledge the different emotions that you are experiencing, like be aware of them. So if we, by nature, we push away our emotions, the things that we feel about, let's say, drugs, alcohol, food, those things can become addictions for us. And if we're pushing our emotions away instead of allowing them to happen, we may find ourselves in a really difficult position. But obviously you can express your appropriate emotions. You know, you don't want to just be like having outbursts in public, but do express yourself appropriately when you can. And if you are at home and you need to scream and cry and yell, do what you got to do, except not to other people. Anyway, another thing you can do is, there's weird noises in my house. Another thing you can do is try to be aware of, I don't know what's going on with this house today, I'm thinking it's haunted. Try to be aware of the emotions that you're having and try to name the emotions other people are having, because this helps you sort of tune in better to your own. So if you want to, like, if you feel like you've lost your ability for empathy, or you feel like you're not as good at it as you used to be because you spent so much time focusing on reading the narcissist, for example, practice paying attention to and naming the emotions that other people are having, right? So people who do show great empathy to others, even if they haven't gone through a situation themselves, we all know they have happier lives in general than people who don't. And we can just look at ourselves and we can look at the narcissist for that, right? You don't need to, for example, be homeless to understand how demoralizing that situation would be if you are relatively empathic. Next, write down your feelings. So keep a journal of your feelings, or write it in your bullet journal or whatever. This will help you to process the different emotions. And also, you can do this if you're paying attention to other people's emotions around you for practice. Recognize that your journal is going to be able to help you work through those emotions in a healthier way, as well as giving you something to look back at when you're having trouble. And then you can try, you know, testing your judgment to accuracy and going for it. So if you're afraid to kind of just go with your gut because you've pushed down your intuition for so long, like a lot of us have, then try a little test. Pick one thing. So for example, if you feel like, you know what, I need to change jobs and I don't know why, I just feel like this, start looking for a job, for real. Start looking for a job and see what happens. Because even if you don't end up leaving the job, going on a few job interviews will really help you to test your intention, excuse me, your intuition. And you might just find a job that you love. I know this happened to me once. I turned in a resume to a company that was a competing company, one I was working for. And I did that because I was mad. Yeah, I physically mailed it. That's how long ago it was. But I was mad at somebody at work. I didn't want to be there anymore. And then by the time the company called me for the interview, I had gotten over that and I was fine with staying where I was. Well, interestingly enough, I went to the job interview and I did not care if I got the job. I didn't even want the job. I just went in there, was myself, and I was chill and joking around with them, having a good time. And they hired me and they wanted me so much that I turned them down 3 times. They bumped up the raise, you know, bumped up the money twice and offered me benefits early so that I could come and be there at this company. And what was interesting about that is that I sort of reluctantly left my other job where I had a lot of friends and I was feeling really good. And within 6 months, that place fired everybody in my department. So that was kind of fun. Anyway, or if you feel strange, like you want to run from a situation, run. Like, go. Don't do what I did and stay and end up, you know, being a single mom and whatever. I'm sure a lot of us can relate to that. But my point is, as you learn to trust your emotions by practicing actually letting them happen, actually feeling them instead of pushing them away, and you listen to your intuition, you're going to get better at discerning, automatically knowing what's right and wrong. The key to developing this all-essential trust in yourself is to start small. So don't make big, giant, life-changing decisions based on your intuition if you're not comfortable hearing it and feeling it, right? So you might still be confusing the inner voice of yourself and your own higher self from the inner voice that you developed as a sort of the leftover narcissist stuff. The narcissist still kind of talking in your head, right? That's our inner critic a lot of times. So my point is, ask your intuition to guide you through smaller decisions to start with, to practice. Wait for that gentle, knowing feeling, that feeling that you're just like, okay, this seems right. And don't expect an instant answer. Sometimes you have to kind of watch for it. Sometimes it looks like a sign. It looks like a, you know, just a little nod from the universe or God or whatever. It does come. And when it does, you'll know it. And then over time, as you tune in more and more, you're going to find that you suffer less and you worry less and you have less anxiety and your body hurts less. And you're going to trust that everything's going to work out, because most of the time, if you are focused on and following your intuition, you do. It does work out better than you could have even imagined. So apologies for all of the distractions during that little bit of content, but here's the deal. Here's the deal. The deal is we all have it naturally. And when you learn to follow it, when you learn to stay focused on it, when you learn to feel it in your body and trust it, your intuition can be one of the most powerful tools that you have. So let me grab our cards now, because ba-dum-bump, it's time to read the cards. And we're going to just take a look here. I'm very interested in what Linda's saying. That's so weird. Yes, I have made a video on imposter syndrome, but I would be very happy to make another one for you guys. Today we're going to start, as usual, with our dialectical behavior therapy skills deck. And again, this will be in the description below after the video goes live, but you don't need to buy it because I'm sharing all the cards with you over the next few weeks. Today we are on card number 38, and it is an emotional regulation skill. Grab your pen, grab your pencil, grab your paper. because this is your homework, y'all. So here we go. It says, oh, this is interesting. This is interesting. Do the opposite of your unhealthy urges. Identify an upsetting situation you recently experienced, then record how you felt. Then identify what the situation made you want to do, like withdraw from the situation, pull away from it. Next, identify an opposite healthier reaction, like use assertive communication. Finally, commit to using the new reaction in similar future situations and record the results. So essentially what this is saying is, follow your intuition, but this is saying when you have unhealthy urges, go the other way. And I find that really cool. That's a really good, interesting contrast for today, right? Because it's still giving you that ability to listen and pay attention to your body and your mind, but maybe a little more carefully. Okay. Alrighty. All right. Super Attractor deck will be all about our our daily affirmation. I'm really distracted by this weirdness in my house right now. I apologize. And today's affirmation is a great one. Beautiful card, by the way. And it says, grab your pen or pencil because this is your affirmation for today. When I'm in a state of appreciation, I'm in vibrational alignment with my true love nature. That's a good one. Yeah? All right. All right. So, yes, I'm going to jump into the chat now. So if you guys, yep, good one, Bonnie, good one. I am going to jump in the chat, say hello to everyone, and talk to you guys for a few more minutes. Now, we do have, I have a stream later today with Dana that hopefully she will be able to attend. And hopefully I will be able to attend. There is more weirdness in the house. I may need to, you know what, you guys? I have issues here. I think there's a problem I may need to go deal with in the house. So let me say hello to everyone. And I'm really, really sorry, but I'm really going to have to go because I think there might be a problem here. And I do not want the ceiling to fall in on my head. So I'm rushing off. I'm so sorry, guys. Okay, I got to go. This is so bad. Assuming that this is resolved before 12:30. I will see you guys at 12:30 today with Dana. I'm so sorry that I have to leave, and I wish I could stay longer because I had so much more to talk about. We may continue this tomorrow. Hugs and love to you all.